Lord commands us to worship Him in this way in Psalm 105. Verse 1 we read, O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen, He is the Lord our God. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, our help is in the name of Jehovah who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ through the operation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Psalters to number 237, titled The Church of God, which God is pleased to gather from the nations of the earth and gather us into the body or into the house of God. Let's sing the three stanzas, all the stanzas of number 237. Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life. Now sing from number 278. And we'll sing the five stanzas, 278, all the stanzas. Baptisms of Brother Boboy and his infant and young children. We'll do that by means of the form for the administration of baptism. We find that on page 86 in the back of the Psalter. We will proceed to read the form, the introduction, on page 86. And we will proceed with the baptism to adult persons and proceed with the baptism of Brother Boboy first. When his confession of faith and baptism is completed, then we will proceed to the baptism of his young and infant children. So at this time, let us now begin by reading from the form for the administration of baptism, which is on page 86 or thereabouts in the back of the Psalter. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without or outside of ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. When we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. Now we turn the page to the section to adult persons. However, children of Christian parents, although they understand not this mystery, must be baptized by virtue of the covenant. Yet it is not lawful to baptize those who are come to years of discretion, except they first be sensible of their sins and make confession both of their repentance and faith in Christ. For this cause did not only John the Baptist preach, according to the command of God, the baptism of repentance, and baptized for the remission of sins those who confess their sins, Mark 1 and Luke 3. But our Lord Jesus Christ also commanded his disciples to teach all nations, and then to baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Matthew 28 and Mark 16. Adding this promise, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. According to which rule the apostles, as appeareth from Acts chapter 2, chapter 10, and chapter 16, baptized none who were of years of discretion, but such as made confession of their faith and repentance. Therefore, it is not lawful now to baptize any other adult person than such as have been taught the mysteries of holy baptism by the preaching of the gospel, and are able to give an account of their faith by the confession of their mouth. Therefore, this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church. Let us call upon his holy name in prayer. This time we'll now offer up prayer unto God. Let us pray. O Almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and has, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism is signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy, graciously to look upon this person and soon his children, and incorporate him and them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, so that they together may be buried with him into his death, they may be raised with him in newness of life, they together may daily follow Christ, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ, thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. Since therefore, O boy, you are also desirous of holy baptism, to the end that it may be to you a seal of thine engrafting into the church of God, that it may appear that thou dost not only receive the Christian religion, in which thou hast been privately instructed by us, and of which also thou hast made confession before us, but that thou, through the grace of God, intends and purposes to lead a life according to the same, thou art asked sincerely to give answer before God now and his church. Brother Beauboy, I ask that you please stand up and answer these five questions. First, do you believe in the only true God, distinct in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, who has made heaven and earth, and all that in them is, of nothing, and still maintains and governs them, insomuch that nothing comes to pass, either in heaven or on earth, without his divine will. What is your answer? Question number two. Do you believe that thou art conceived and born in sin, and therefore a child of wrath by nature, wholly incapable of doing any good and prone to all evil, and that thou hast frequently in thought, word, and deed transgressed the commandments of the Lord, and whether you are heartily sorry for these sins? What is your answer? Number three, do you believe that Christ, who is the true and eternal God and very man, who took his human nature on him out of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, is given to you of God to be your Savior, and that you do receive by this faith remission of sins in his blood, and that you are made by the power of the Holy Spirit a member of Jesus Christ and his church? What is your answer? Number four, do you assent to all the articles of the Christian religion as they are taught here in this Christian church according to the Word of God? Do you purpose steadfastly to continue in the same doctrine to the end of your life? And also, do you reject all heresies and schisms repugnant to this doctrine? And do you promise to persevere in the communion of the Christian church, not only in the hearing of the word, but also in the use of the Lord's Supper? What is your answer? Now, number five, the last question. Have you taken a firm resolution always to lead a Christian life, to forsake the world and its evil lusts, as is becoming the members of Christ and his church, and to submit yourself to all Christian admonitions? What is your answer? Brother Poboy, you have made a confession before not just us, the church, but as the form reminded us, before God. The Lord Jesus Christ has told us that when we make confession of the name of God, the angels in heaven rejoice. They are rejoicing now because the news has been heard that another one of God's people, by the grace of God, has made confession of faith. But don't forget, and we as God's people must not forget, that while heaven rejoices today for this and many other reasons, the gates of hell are very troubled. They have been shaken today because we know the gates of hell cannot prevail against the work of Christ in building his church. Nevertheless, the devil will attack you. He will tempt you as the head of your home, the husband of your wife, the father of your children. We pray for you that God will do as you purposed in your heart, to continue in this truth which you have confessed and which you love all the days of your life. That will not be easy. But we know that God's grace is sufficient. God will preserve you. That's our prayer. He will preserve you and your home in this confession. Jesus said, when he was in the house of Zacchaeus — you children remember the story of Zacchaeus from Jericho — and the people were angry with Jesus because he had come to Zacchaeus' home to have supper with him, to speak to Zacchaeus, his wife, and his children. Jesus said unto them, over against the accusations of the wicked, and in response to Zacchaeus' confession of faith, this is what Christ said, and this is what Christ now says to you also. This day, today, is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You also are a son of Abraham, because God has worked in you faith and fulfilled the promise of his covenant to you and to your seed. So now it is time, Brother Beauvoir, that you come forward and receive the seal and testimony of God concerning that promise and that word of Christ. I ask you to come forward. Oh boy, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Since, as Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham, Genesis 17, verse 7 reminds us that God's promise is not only to believers, but also to their seed. So let us now proceed to the baptism of your young children and infant. Go back now to page 86. We will not offer the prayer again. We've prayed that same prayer already, so we will read that section and then continue on to the exhortation to parents. There we read, "And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are, without their knowledge, partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, therefore unto us and our children," Genesis 17, verse 7, "saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee." This also the Apostle Peter testifies with these words in Acts 2, verse 39. "For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore, God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them." Mark chapter 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. Parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein, wherein they, when they shall arrive, to years of discretion. That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. We've offered this prayer and included in that prayer also the children before. So let us now go to the exhortation to the parents. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded. Brother Boboy, we ask that you arise and answer sincerely these three questions. Question number one, first. Whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, therefore, as members of his church, ought to be baptized. Question number two. Whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testament and in the articles of the Christian faith, which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect or complete doctrine of salvation. And the third question. Whether you promise and intend to see these children, when come to the years of discretion, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. Brother Boboy, what is your answer? I ask that at this time you lead your children to the front for baptism. After the baptism of the children, and they are seated, again we will sing together from Psalter number 425. We'll be singing stanzas 4 and 5. 4 and 5 of 425. Abigail, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Abraham, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Aaron, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Excel, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Azaliah, baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now open our psalters and in thanksgiving to God, let us sing from number 425. We'll stand up to sing stanzas 4 and 5.
Stand.
time we will offer up the prayer of thanksgiving for both baptism of Boboy and also his children. Let us pray. Almighty God and our merciful Father, we thank and we praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and now sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, O Heavenly Father, that through the same Son of Thy love, Thou wilt be pleased always to govern Brother Boboy by Thy Holy Spirit. And we beseech of Thee that Thou wilt be pleased to also govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, so that these children may also be piously and religiously educated in the truth of Thy Word, that they together, as father, parents, and children, may increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Together they may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast been pleased to show to them, now also to us. Grant that also by Thy Holy Spirit they may live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, that they may then manfully fight against and overcome sin and the devil and his whole dominion to the end, and they may eternally praise and magnify Thee, Thy Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Ghost, Thou art the only and one true God. Stand in that innumerable company of Thy saints, life everlasting, in the full reality of Thy goodness and mercy. Lord, we rejoice in the testimony of Thy grace and the sign and the seal of baptism, that to us and to our seed, Thou, the God Almighty, art the God of Thy saints, whom Thou hast been pleased to call by Thy word and Spirit from afar off to bring us nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ and His Spirit right into Thy house, into the midst of Thy glory, to dwell there with Thee forever. We thank Thee, Father, that we may have a taste of Thy glory today. We may stand in the reality through the Scriptures, Thou art our Father, we are Thy children, for Jesus' sake. Now, Lord, wilt Thou by Thy grace protect us. We are sheep. Left to ourselves, we would be destroyed. We would be lost in sin. Be Thou our great shepherd through the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, to protect us from the evil one through the way of faith, using the armor of Christ. Keep us faithful all the days of our life, serving Thee, not only as Thy friends, Thy children, but also as Thy servants, keeping Thy will, doing Thy commandments, loving the Scriptures from the heart, living in Thy truth more and more each and every day. Bless our congregation. May the means of grace today, whenever we gather each Lord's Day under the means of grace, may that build up our church, even as Christ promised, to build us up in the truth and the faith of our forefathers, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose children we are by the promise, by Thy grace through faith. Bless the churches that we have come to know and to love. Bless the Protestant Reformed churches in America. Bless the Covenant Evangelical Reformed Church in Singapore, especially in their trouble and now their trial. Now they must also endure what we have experienced years ago, an extended vacancy. Thou, in Thy mercy, bear them up in Thine arms to carry them through this trial. May it serve the strengthening of their faith, the tempering of their unity in the knowledge of Christ. Thou also bless Brother Vernon as he studies in the seminary. Thou bless his work as he completes his final semester, looks towards necessary examinations and the proving to prepare for the ministry of the gospel. We also pray for the delegates from the Doon Protestant Reformed Church and the Foreign Mission Committee of the Protestant Reformed Churches. I will bless these men, Brother Perry and Brother Glenn, as they are with us for a while. Now this week must return to their homeland. May Thy Spirit go with them. May Thy mercy go with them. Grant them safe travel. May they bring the news of the power of Thy grace and the power of the cross of Christ to do what Thou hast promised to do, to gather Thy church from the nations of the earth, from every nation, tribe, and tongue, so that the promise of Christ may be fulfilled, that He will build His church, and that what we have read in the book of Acts is also true. Daily, even yet today, are added to the church such as should be saved. Lord, wilt Thou bless the cause of Thy church through the earth? We know that we are very weak and sinful. And the flock here below is filled with much troubles. Wilt Thou nevertheless, by the wonder and miracle of Thy grace, save Thy church, protect and defend us unto the end, so that Thy kingdom may come, Thy name may indeed be glorified at the coming of Christ. In whose name we pray, amen. Now sing in our psalters from number 213. Sing from this Psalter number 213, just the first three stanzas, 1, 2, and 3 of 213.
Storm.
We'll read now from the book of Joshua, the last chapter of the book of Joshua, which is chapter 24. We'll begin reading at verse 1 of Joshua chapter 24. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers. They presented themselves before God. Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt, according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers, with chariots and horsemen, unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. Your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel. Sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And he went over Jordan, came unto Jericho. The men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not. And ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore, and now verses 14 and 15 are the text of the sermon at this time. Verse 14 reads, Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up, and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did these great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Joshua said unto the people, Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said Joshua, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. The people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. That's as far as we'll read in God's word. When we think about the text, verses 14 and 15 for the sermon, raises the question, what's the motto, what is the motto or the summary statement that characterizes or describes your life, your marriage, your home, your congregation? If a stranger were to come and visit you for a week, watch how you eat and how you, as children, speak to each other in the home, how the parents and the children work together, live together, observe how you decide major things in life and how you respond to calamities in life. What would he say in 10 words or so that describes you and your house, your marriage, your life? How would he complete the sentence from verse 15? How would the stranger complete the sentence? As for this man or woman in his or her house, they serve. What would he put in the blank? How would he finish that sentence? And Joshua reminds us there really are only two things that can be put in that blank. Either the home serves God, or the home serves idols or false images of God or the Bible. That raises the question then, does what Joshua say here in verse 15 at the very end, is that what the stranger would tell us about your life, your home, your marriage, your church? That we will serve the Lord. What Joshua says here is in the context of a situation which at first may seem rather strange to us. Listening to Joshua, as we read that, speak to Israel, we might wonder, is this really the Joshua that led Israel into Canaan? He tells Israel to make a choice among the gods. You may pick that god or that god. And then he tells them, God will never forgive your sin. What is Joshua doing? What is he saying? Just understand that Joshua is at the end of his life, and now as a wise, old father, forefather, from a spiritual point of view of all of these children, whom he led into the land of Canaan, the father now speaks to his children in a teaching way. Joshua knew the heart of Israel. He knew Israel's weaknesses. And to bring out of them a confession, a commitment, a proper commitment or confession of faith, there in the land of Canaan, at the end of the conquest of Canaan, and now the complete occupation of Canaan, Joshua, by his approach to Israel, brings out of them a faithful confession. He challenges them to serve God alone. He exposes their sin, exposes their weaknesses, shows the antithetical character of serving God And he shows them the urgency of that service. In a way a father might teach his little children, to make them more convinced of what is true and what is right. So that Israel then may, knowing their sin, knowing their inability, knowing their weaknesses, might cast themselves upon God and confess His truth. And a life, and make a confession of a life that serves Him. Through the inspired Joshua then, the Lord speaks to you and me today, and especially the household, whom God has in a very visible way today shown salvation like He did to Zacchaeus long ago. The Lord speaks to us. What will you and your house, your generations, your children, and your children's children, what will you do? Whom will ye serve? Will ye serve the idols of the world, the false images of false teachings and heresies? Or will you serve the Lord? What will you do? What is your answer? May God, by His Holy Spirit, work in us the faith so that we may say, as Joshua said, "But as for me and my house, my marriage, my church, we will serve the Lord." What must we do? What does the apostle, what does Joshua mean when he says, "We will serve the Lord"? Verses 14 and 15 explain that very important phrase at the end of verse 15. Joshua admonishes Israel to fear and to serve Jehovah. Israel must fear Jehovah. Later, Israel would be given the book of Proverbs, and in the book of Proverbs we learn that the fear of the Lord is wisdom. To fear God is to have the knowledge of the truth. And have that knowledge in such a way that we just don't know it up here, but we have it in our heart. We're convinced of that truth. And being convinced of that truth, then we live that truth. Knowing that God is sovereign, the God of providence, then we live that way. Our attitudes are shaped by that truth. Our response to calamities is affected by that blessed comfort that, yes, God is the God of providence, in which He blesses us. That's wisdom. Taking the truth of the Holy Scriptures, now living in that truth to the best goal, which is always the glory of God. That fear of Jehovah, we must understand, isn't merely then intellectual. It's made up of two parts, reflecting from the text how we are to serve God. The fear of the Lord is first to love Him. The fear of God is to love Him as His children. As a child loves his father or her father, that's the kind of love Joshua is speaking about, a love of fellowship, a love of family, a love in which you know and you are known, a love in which God knows you and has known you from eternity, knows you in Jesus Christ, knows you in His love, and then by which now you also know Him as your Father. Carries you through life in His arms of everlasting mercy. That love, then, is the love of a child or the love of a friend, someone, those who are knit together, close, in covenant life and communion. But Joshua also adds this, that fear is reverence. We must remember, God is not an equal with us. Yes, He is our God, and He loves us so that we love Him. We are in covenant communion with Him, and we love Him as a child loves a father, but we must remember in that love we must reverence Him. He is God, Even though he saves us, he still remains the Almighty, the awesome covenant God, whose matchless excellency, whose awesome greatness, and his wonderful goodness requires us to show proper respect and reverence to him. Fear the Lord, Joshua says to Israel. Love him. Reverence him. When you fear him, then you will serve him. That's how closely those two things are connected. The fear of God, of course, is something invisible. The fear of God is something inside of you. It's in your heart. The fear of God is that inner spiritual posture towards God where we love him from the heart. We fear him. We know him. And then that service of God is that true fear from within becoming visible. We can see that in the world. The one who does not fear God is not going to come to church on Sunday. He's not going to love the Lord. He's going to take the Bible and, I don't care about the Ten Commandments. I will do what I want to do. I don't need to serve the Lord. And then we say, when we see the outward behavior of such a wicked man, that man does not fear God. And that's true. Where there is the fear of God in someone's heart, then you see, there's someone who fears the Lord because he comes to church with me on the Lord's Day. He worships the same God that I do. He confesses the same truth of God's Word that I do. There's one that fears the Lord because I can see it, how he serves God in his life. That service of the Lord. In that service of the Lord, first of all, one is a servant who knows, you see, that he belongs to Christ. He belongs to God. It's like the people of God delivered from the land of Egypt. They were redeemed from the slavery and the bondage of Egypt, now to become the servants of God. Bought with the blood of the Passover lamb, now the servants of God. And that's true of us. Signified to us in baptism, God has redeemed us and our children by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now to belong to him, today and now forever, that will never end. To belong to his covenant. Now that we are his servants, to serve the Lord then also means we understand and we are beginning to understand his will and beginning to learn to live the prayer which Jesus prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. Let me submit to thy way for me in life, and in that way that God leads me, I will keep God's commandments. I will love God's word and keep his truth all the days of my life. That's the work which God calls us to do through Joshua here. Serve the Lord. Live that confession that you know, as it's signified to us in baptism. I am now marked by the blood of Jesus Christ and by his Holy Spirit. I don't belong to myself. I belong to him. And now, living in his land of his covenant blessings, now I must serve him. For Israel, that's the blessed way. That's the way of prosperity in life. That's the way of happiness. In the way of knowing we belong to the Lord, and now we must follow his rules in his land of Canaan. Israel, enjoy the blessings of the Lord in the land of Canaan. They worshipped in the tabernacle, and then later in the temple, kept the Passover, followed the commandments of God, they had peace. They rejoiced in the Lord. When they didn't keep God's commandments and said, no, we really don't belong to the Lord, maybe sometimes, but we can also serve these gods over here and we'll also belong to them, then it was a disaster for Israel. God had to bring them back in repentance to learn And as we must learn, the way for the church, for prosperity today, for believers and our seed, is by faith to know we belong to the Lord by the blood of Christ. Now we must fear Him, that is, serve Him in love and reverence according to God's commandments, according to what God says in the Bible. That's the way we must go. And in that way, there is happiness. There is joy. There is a real future for us in which we may expect God will be good to you and your seed. That's why Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve Jehovah." Notice, first of all, that this was Joshua's personal confession. "As for me," the head of Israel now as the leader, but also the head of my home as father, grandfather, "I will serve the Lord. I will serve Jehovah. I will keep His truth. I will love His promises. And I will live faithfulness to the Lord. As for me, that is what I will do." Beloved, is that your confession? You must say that. "As for me, I will serve the Lord." That's what confession of faith is. We've heard that confession today. Brother has stood up and said, "As for me, I will serve the Lord." You have made that confession also. For you young people, that's the confession you need to pray for when it's time for you to make confession of faith, that you may stand up before God and His church and say, as Joshua said, "As for me, yes, I will also serve the Lord with my fellow saints." But that's not all we need to say. As Joshua said, we need to have a vision, a view to the future, the generations of the church. Joshua also said, "And my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua was here at the end of his life, concerned about the future of Israel. He had given his life for the sake of God's covenant and truth. He lived in obedience to the angel of the Lord, the captain of the salvation of God's hosts. Joshua had a great concern for the future of his own generations. How should my children and my children's children, what is the way or the life they should go in? And he says, "As for me and my house, this is the direction I am setting for my generations. I who am also part of this tree of life, tree of God's covenant people, I want the branch to continue in the direction of serving Jehovah. I want my generations to follow me, really to follow Christ, together in the ways of the Lord." Now it's true, Joshua could not make that decision ultimately for his children. Nor can you. You can't take your children by the neck and say, "Now you are going to make confession of faith, and you are going to believe this truth of God's word, because I tell you." We as parents can't make our children believe anything. Teach them as God commands. But in all of our instruction, we're reminded, we can't make those children believe. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. God must send His Spirit into our hearts to open that heart and to receive life, a new heart, faith. Nevertheless, as parents, we are called, as Joshua points out, we must set the direction for those children. That's the means by which God uses to have those children to say, "Yes, as my forefathers said, so will I serve the Lord." that your conviction, beloved, for you and your household, for you and your marriage, for you and your congregation, or your church. You might say, well, I don't have children. I don't have generations after me. Yes, you do. Look at all the children here. Those are your children. That's your generation too, after you. As for you, your house, as far as the church is concerned and the communion of the saints, you must also in the church say, we will serve the Lord. Because that's the future of the church. And their gathering serves the coming of Christ. That's why this must be our conviction. We must serve the Lord, we and our seed. We must do that, beloved, and Joshua says in verse 14, in sincerity and in truth. Our service of the Lord must be balanced. It must, first of all, be sincere. Joshua is teaching there, our service of the Lord must not be divided between God and something else, an idol or self, trusting in ourselves, or something else that we might put our trust in. No, a sincere service with an undivided heart. A service which is totally committed unto the Lord with heart and mind and soul and strength, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in that direction of the service of the Lord. But Joshua cautions us by adding, in truth. Don't forget that. Our service must be consistent, so that what we confess is also what we do. We must serve Him, in other words, honestly, not as a hypocrite, saying, yes, we believe the truth, but then our life doesn't live the truth. That's not sincere. That's not in truth. We must serve the Lord honestly and with a service regulated by the truth, by the Word of God. We must examine ourselves and say, am I in my service, in the home, in the marriage, wherever God has called us to labor, am I submitting to God's will for my life? Am I doing what He tells me to do? Sincerity and in truth. Both of those are necessary. You can't have one without the other. We may not serve God in sincerity, but not in the truth. That doesn't work. Many today who serve images and heathen gods, they're very, very sincere in what they do. But they are very wicked, the Bible teaches. Nor may we serve the Lord in the truth without sincerity. If we do that, we become hollow. We'll have a service of dead orthodoxy. It'll become routine. Thoughtless. Don't want that either. Joshua guides us, says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. And we will do that over against all the other gods of the world. That's a service which is, now to use a long word, but a very important word, that's a service which is antithetical. Very sharp. That was Israel's weakness. That's our weakness too. Already at the time of Abraham, we're told in Joshua 24 that the forefathers were called out of Ur of the Chaldees, not just called out of a city, but called out of idolatry. They were trying to serve God and idols. God had to call by His grace Abraham out of that wickedness. That was the weakness of Israel through all their generations. Joshua had to show. As for me and my house, and now you also, people of God, must follow my example. As for us and our houses, we must say no to these idols. They're not going to help us. They did not save us from Egypt. They cannot save us from our sin. We say no to them, and we will serve God alone. That's an antithetical service. Jesus said, don't forget, we cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve God and mammon, God and an idol, God and some thing in life that we will not let go at all costs. The Lord says to us, no, you must let that go. Nothing may stand between me and faithful service. Nothing. If it is not in harmony with my word, that thing must go. You cannot serve two masters. You must serve me alone all the days of your life. That, you see, requires repentance, doesn't it? We do not need to look very far back in our life to see examples where we were worshiping at altars not to God, or trusting in ourselves, which is also idolatry, and saying, well, in this calamity, I can handle this. I don't need help. That's not right. We don't have any strength. God is our only strength. The Lord commands us in His Word, put away those strange gods. Repent from that idolatry. Crucify that old nature. Confess your sins before me. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now serve me in sincerity and in truth. Do that, Joshua says, today. That's how urgent it is. Don't put this off, young people, to tomorrow and say, well, I can wait till tomorrow to decide whether I should do what's right. Tomorrow's too late. As my family has learned, the death of our father, grandfather, we can be here 1 minute, and a minute later, we're gone. It doesn't take that long. And we don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't. That's why it's urgent. Today, we must serve the Lord. But there's more urgent of a reason to make that resolution to serve the Lord than just the fact that soon we're going to die. There's a much more positive reason that compels us by the grace of God to say yes. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it's this. Did you notice what Joshua was talking about at the beginning of chapter 24? Reads through all the history of Israel right to that moment. And what does that history speak of? It speaks of the salvation of the Lord. What did God do over the past 400 years since Abraham, our forefather? What did God do? God, by His grace, did wonderful things which make us very glad. He gave us the land. We did not even build these cities. When we went to fight the enemy, God sent hornets, He sent hail, He sent lightning. God fought for us. Yes, we went by faith, but this was God's work. And now we stand in the land of Canaan, the promised land, and our only conclusion is we stand here because of God's grace and God's grace alone. And really, when Joshua is standing there, they're standing in a typical fulfillment of God's promise. They're in the promised land. A picture of heaven. They stand before a full display of salvation by grace alone. Standing before that, what else could Joshua say? As for me and my house, we're now going to serve idols? Of course not. This is the God, the only God that can save us from sin. This is the God who has made heaven and earth and now given to us the promised land. Him we will serve. Serve alone. Joshua is admonishing Israel, you must see the same thing today. Look at what your God has done. Now, don't be so foolish to go worship Baal and other things. You worship the Lord, your covenant God. That's the same thing we must, the same perspective we ought to have today. Did you see that, beloved? The gospel, but also in baptism, did you see the salvation of God by grace alone and the sign of baptism? If you hear what Christ said today, brought salvation to this house, or shown that salvation to this house specifically in the sign and seal of baptism, that's what we saw today. We have seen the power of the cross of Christ. You can't see it with these earthly eyes, but by faith. Christ has told us that what he said in Matthew 16, verse 18 is true. And I will build my church. I will add unto my church such as should be saved daily. Now, what shall we do? God has shown to us the power and the glory of the cross of Christ, shown us that he is the triune God of all of our salvation. Now are we going to serve idols? Go find happiness in the wickedness of the world? How foolish. Let us not do that, beloved, but say with Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will. We'll do that not because we say so, or because we trust in ourselves, because we know, as fathers, we're not very strong. We're very much like Israel, prone to many weaknesses, or as mothers, as heads of the home, prone to many weaknesses in leading our children in the service of the Lord. There are days and weeks where we look back and say, I'm a failure. Because we know it's true. We can't say to God, look what I have done. No. Nor could Joshua in chapter 24. He wasn't saying, look how great I am, and I'm standing on the power of my own strength and the rock of my own ability, and now I'm going to serve the Lord. That's not where Joshua was standing. He was standing on the rock, which is Christ. Joshua's admonition exposes our great weaknesses, but it drives us to see what only faith can see. That although by nature, as our brother recently confessed today, although by nature totally unable to serve the Lord, yet our hope is in Christ, the captain of our salvation, whom Joshua is a type of. It's possible only because of Christ. He earned for us the right to be the servants of God, to live in his house, to love him, to give ourselves unto his glory. And because of the atoning and shed blood of Christ, now signified and sealed to us, we are clothed in the white robes of the righteousness of Christ. We belong in his house. We belong to him. And he will give to us his promise, which is the Holy Spirit, to purify us, so that now as we stand before God, yes, we are his servants. And we have the hope that God will preserve us. We have that hope in Christ. Why? Well, what Joshua said in verse 15 was and is fulfilled in Christ. This is Christ's commitment. Listen to Christ. As for me, he served the Lord, he certainly did, unto your salvation. As for me and my house, that's you, the church, we will serve the Lord. Christ will see to it to work in you that which is good and pleasing in his sight, so that you may serve Him in this life, but soon in perfection, in the house of the Lord forever, where we will serve Him without sin, without sorrow, without trouble, forever. Beloved, may that be your conviction. May you be able to say in your heart, yes, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Most merciful God and Father, Thou take Thy good word, by the Holy Spirit, write Thy word upon our hearts, that we may serve Thee by faith, not in our own strength, but in the strength of Christ alone, and in the knowledge of the forgiveness of our sins, and in the knowledge of the power and the glory of Christ's death and resurrection. May we serve Thee in sincerity and in truth, to the glory of Thy name, with the expectation that the day will come when we may with Christ in Thy house forever serve Thee. Grant us that hope, and also comfort those who mourn the loss of loved ones in this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time we will give to the Lord in thanksgiving our offerings for the general operating fund and for the building fund. God's blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.